wine on the table.
All right. Well, now that we have a quorum, I think we can get going. We'll start with introductions. I'll start with Mike Odrin, Olson Engineering.
Greg Schaefer, Clark County Development Engineering.
Nicole Snyder, Clark County Community Development.
Eric Alimo, SJ Engineering.
Andrew Gunther, CLS Engineering.
All right, and just to let everyone know and remind them that we are being recorded for posting to the county's website. Next step would be to review and adopt the minutes. If there aren't any questions, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Let's see. Next would be upcoming events.
Upcoming events, two board hearings, two planning commission work sessions, or a session and a hearing. We have the first of the board hearings, Clark County Board of Greater Clark Parks District. That'll be next Tuesday, December the 10th. Morning meeting, 9:45 a.m. If you need a contact from the county on that, be our director, Pete Capel. Also that same day, just a little bit later, the BOCC hearing, followed by annuals. Of course, Jan Bazal has been the lead on that. Tuesday, December the 10th, 10 a.m. And then for Planning Commission sessions and hearings, we have the Planning Commission work session promoting agricultural food production in Clark County, Thursday, December 5th, 5:30. That's an evening meeting, 5:30 p.m. I am sorry, I do not know of a lead contact on that. Ag food services production? Yeah, okay. If you have concerns or interest on that, give me a call back. I'll find who the lead is for you there. And then the Planning Commission hearing, surface mining overlay update. Of course, our one and only Mike Mabry, who is going to join us here today. That is this evening, Thursday, December the 5th, 6:30 this evening.
Greg, I just want to, there's one addition that came in very late, December 18th, Board of Commissioners work session. It's at 10 o'clock in the morning, that's the population forecast.
Okay. All right.
December 18th is 10 to 11, it's a work session.
Thank you, Don.
I think there's also a Planning Commission hearing tonight on the biannuals. I had it on my calendar at least.
What was here for the biennials tonight?
There is a hearing for the Planning Commission.
All Planning Commission.
Yeah. I'm going to try to stop by on that one. Okay. I've got another hearing at the City of Vancouver this evening. But
oh, so you'll be here anyway.
No, City of Vancouver.
Well, yeah, it's just
like all right, I'll be around. Right.
You'll be
down next door. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
And I would assume that the fall biennial day, the PC hearing for that would be based on our last comments or the last version that we saw from last month.
Yes, with the addition of the four lots
yeah.
on a private drive.
Okay, so they were able
yep.
to get that in.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
So I think, you know, our position's pretty, we're just in favor of the changes and
yeah.
we're supportive. So I'm going to go just in case anyone has any questions.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, I didn't see in the packet any correspondences. Do we have anything late that came in? Doesn't appear so. No correspondences. Let's see. The next item on the agenda indicates to formulate a subcommittee to review ADA updates via ASCE. Eric, do you know anything about that?
I think it's...
I've never heard.
ASC is working on it. I haven't heard anything from them back on that issue yet.
Okay. And
yeah.
So we don't know exactly what this means, Greg. Can you fill us in on that?
I don't have that. Wow.
He's looking in October's.
Oh, am I looking at the
wrong one? You're looking at the wrong one.
The wrong one.
But it's still good to bring up. Either way, it's a good question, and I think it's on their agenda.
Okay.
I think there's
a subcommittee that is active on that, working on it. Yeah.
Good.
Okay, great. Any member announcements? None seen. Next would be for the recruitment to fill Mike Bomar's previous position. And I believe that was for a contractor's position, and he was...
It is.
That place as the chair of the Contractors Association. So
I will actively work for the board. I wanted to make sure that was on our agenda today. Of course, we solicit any recommendations that you may have through your various companies and organizations. Of course, we have quite a broad reach just within our members here. So I will work with Jennifer of the board to get a letter soliciting invitations for that. So coupled with that, we do have actually a total of three positions, Mike being one. Ott's not with us today. I sent him an email. He just sent an afternoon email that he would not be able to make it today, so I replied on that. Him and Eric, you're also included with this, as in the term soon to expire on December 31st. So, of course, in part of our bylaws, there is provision to have consecutive terms. So, didn't know if you wanted
to stay on if you guys want me.
I think you have to be reapproved by the board.
Yes.
You'll have to send through another letter of
intent.
So I will notify the board on that. I'll also await to see what Ott brings word on. So if he is also in agreement with that, then my plan is to go back to the board requesting both Ott and Eric to continue their another two-year term of service, and then we'll get the advertisement going on Mike's position. So
okay, that'd be great.
And Contractors Association was interviewing to refill their executive director Tuesday, I believe. So that announcement should be forthcoming soon. Who's going to fill that?
I believe they have someone. I don't know if it's public yet. So
yeah, I don't know if it is either. I know that it was forthcoming, imminent, but we might want to at least send out an invitation or at least let them know that opportunity is there for them. Okay. I just want to back up a minute here to the member announcements, but let the record show that Axel Swanson and Marty Snell are here now. Before we get going any further, I know that there's some changes to the permit center, and I don't know if you wanted to chime in on that now, Marty, or Chuck. We all got this notice today. I don't know if everybody got this notice today.
Nope.
But we might want to.
Chuck, do you want to chime in? Or do you want to? Permit center is getting ready to undergo a remodel. So next Friday, we will be closed the entire day as we move. Our temporary location during our remodel is going to be in the joint lobby on the second floor. We're going to be utilizing two stations and a conference room with them. I don't have it with me today, so I apologize. I think it's on there, but we do have an appointment line created now for both the building and planning, permitting, and engineering. And then we also have an appointment email set up. So we're asking people to schedule appointments. If you do it pretty early in the day, we'll get you in the same day, if not next day, the latest for all appointments. And then during this time, when we move, starting December 16th through the end of the year, we won't have credit card service available. We want to make sure to bring check or cash to make payments for any application you're turning in or permit you're picking up. And then I think the most important part of the area encourage everyone to call and make appointments. We really are having to use the joint lobby as our walk-in for kind of the property owners who may not know anything different is going on. So we're trying to definitely get the word out to the community that appointments are really important. So definitely, if you don't make an appointment, it will definitely alter your wait time everything packed up right now, so we've been doing everything we can to keep everything available for our customers right now as we're also packing. We plan to be in these temporary locations until at least the first part of March. Tentative right now, that it could change. We're being in construction or some part of that industry realizes that we can shift rapidly. So that's our tentative move back. Part of the change comes as a result of going very customer-centric in the idea of what permitting should be. And we're really opening up the entire downstairs. There won't be walls, there won't be counters. Our permits have to be held in their desk. So it really brings more of a personalized approach to how we do permitting going forward. So definitely a huge change, very excited about it. It's going to be definitely a different one. So
you do have some kind of public outreach that's taking place. It'll be published, say, in the Columbian and periodically, so it comes up to date.
We're going to have good signage downstairs, signage upstairs. Staff is giving things out now, including a similar idea of what that letter was to you guys today, along with the cards. So they have those cards for their wallet to always have that handy as well.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
And one last thing I should note, we are going to be sharing the joint lobby's hours for opening. So do take note of that Wednesday time. We won't open at 8 anymore on Wednesdays during the remodel. We'll actually open at 9 a.m. The rest of the week will open at 8 a.m.
Okay.
And just as normal, the normal hours otherwise?
The normal closing hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
And those are the hours that have changed. Oh, okay. So we're still at the noon on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
Okay.
Through the remodel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
That memo that you have, does that have all that information in it?
It does.
Is that something we could get emailed to us?
Yeah, it was only sent to one person in our office, and she forwarded it to everybody else. So there's, I don't know who's on your sent list for this, but you might want to double check that.
Because it came out of the
email. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it, but someone in our office probably got it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I will make sure.
Because if I didn't get it, I'm sure there's lots of other people that didn't.
I don't think anybody in our office got it.
Nobody did? Okay.
Okay. What I will do is, because I don't have everyone's individual email, I'll email it to Rosie and ask her to send it out there.
Sure.
Correct.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I guess next on our agenda is an update on the final plat process. That's you and Joanna.
Again. Hey, real quick before we get to
because
it's kind of related to what we were just talking about. I saw something recently about a request to the commissioners for additional resources for permit staff. Is it approved?
So my proposal to the board has six staff in the building group. Three planning inspectors and two in the permit center permit tech. So that budget was approved Tuesday night. We're going to move forward on the recruitment of most of those positions right away. And you know, we'll be, by the time the remodel is done, we'll have two new people, and that's also where we'll try to go Monday through Friday, 8 till the afternoon. So good news on that.
Good. But I was going to suggest a motion, but it sounds like you didn't need it, so.
Perfect.
Better yet.
Good. Thank you. Okay.
So, final plats.
Mm-hmm.
Our first review and red lines were due today and sent out today. In the initial email that Diana created, I reviewed, it had all of those things I talked about last time as far as that checklist. What would you need in the punch list, all those different things were part of that email that went out today to the applicant. We are able to, even now for myself, I'm realizing, okay, we really need that many days to make the initial review. For my side, maybe not, but I need to verify on the other side. So right now, very honestly, don't have a lot to update with you guys right now, unfortunately, because today was that initial red line. So hopefully I can come back next time and be able to give a little bit more to it and further.
And you do have some codified timelines that you have to meet with regards to that, or is it possible?
Yeah,
Yes, 21-14.
Okay, so it's, it falls the same as I think that was mentioned last time.
So that's for review of the final plat.
Okay.
Which is kind of... It's a little more complicated that, than that because everything doesn't come in at the same time. So that's just for the physical plat itself.
The physical plat itself.
Okay. And the other items just need to be done by the end.
Yes, but we're trying to create where the package that we sent out is the package we received back in. So we'll send you all the covenants or whatever is required with all the red lines from all the departments. And note, if we didn't get a red, get comments from a particular department or jurisdiction or what have you, and what their comments are, and then we ask all of that to come back as one package. That way it makes it a lot simpler. You can get a lot of the documents reviewed up front instead of towards the end.
I think things are already starting to go smoother, and it's still a mad rush right now, especially before the holidays. I know you guys all know about it. I'm getting a lot of calls, and I try to forward on a few of them. And as-builts have been a big thing, and the punch list, and getting everybody with the same sense of urgency. I know it's been, I think, a challenge, but I think for the most part, staff's been rising to the occasion as well and bent over backwards trying to get things done within reason.
And there's the ability for engineering staff and planning staff to know what each hand is doing with regards to the final plat, and I'm going to kind of steer that also to the final site plan review process also.
Correct, and I think that's part of what Diana and I have as a goal taking on this as an experiment, to see where are there gaps in the communication between planning and engineering, where can we shore that up, because we need to internally have better forms of communication, whether it be force or person meetings, whatever that may be, to help clear that communication and make that process smoother from our side as we're recording things back to you guys.
Okay, and I'd like to just kind of echo that for the final site plan process,
yes,
just based on a recent experience. Okay, great, thank you.
Absolutely.
Chuck, should we slot you for another update, brief update in the January meeting?
Absolutely.
Will you be here? That's on the 2nd, so.
Oh, yes.
Okay, you're here, all right.
Okay, moving right along, looks like Mike, you have an update for us on the surface mining overlay.
Save your cat calling for the end, so you let me give you a quick update on timing. We had a hearing in September and another in October, with about 5-6 hours of testimony on just the map amendments. That part was completed at the end of the October meeting. November 7th, we had a work session with the Planning Commission on the policy, procedure, and code changes. And at that time, there were the recommendations from the Mineral Lands Task Force and a mountain of responses and papers and objections from various parties. The Planning Commission asked me to sort through those and come up with something that found some middle ground that might be acceptable to everybody. Of course it wasn't, but at least we have something that's a middle ground, sort of a staff proposal. I try not to characterize it as that because it's probably not everything we would have done, but it's our best shot at sort of what we heard and what we've learned from some of the input that we got. We put that out for 2 weeks, it was probably only out for a week, got a pile of responses. Well, let me say the responses to that were fairly limited. There were four or five that were had specific recommendations for language changes. So those recommended changes are reflected in this document, which includes in bold what the staff proposal was, and in below it, an alternative set of language and who suggested it. I don't know. I guess you asked me to be here based on some commentary that you got last meeting from Virgil Barnett.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to go through policies or just talk about the code issues.
You know, a lot of his comments were more about the map revision. So did that get finalized last meeting?
The map is finalized in October.
Okay.
In terms of the Planning Commission's recommendations, and I can go through that with you real quick.
Because I was just looking at my notes. He was talking about parcels that moved off of the map from the recent testimony. Wasn't right. that the gist of his?
Yeah, and those concerns? And those parcels were the ones that held that they knew as being in the industry that held the most, the best opportunity for the resource.
Right.
And that they've been, you know. And I don't know if they're entire 40-acre parcels or entire sections or quarter sections. Or
I can show you exactly what they are. I was just reading your minutes, and it seemed like his commentary was a lot more about the code. So let's see, how can we do this?
Well, that was part of it. But
okay.
What stood out the most was the fact that those areas that had the most resources in them are now no longer.
Yeah, so... So the largest areas that are probably the most controversial are Yakult Mountain, Bells Mountain, and Livingston Mountain. And the Planning Commission recommended taking all three of them off.
So that's the new recommendation?
That's the new recommendation. The Bells Mountain was a new property owner. He had just bought this stuff for millions of dollars. He wants to do a resort up there or a private home. Really, there's no access to it. You can go up Berry Road, but you don't want to meet a truck coming down. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
Yakult Mountain has all the issues that you're probably aware of.
And I can speak to them if you have questions.
Yes. It's the expansion was really downhill from the existing, so we're not taking away anything that's existing surface mining over there, obviously. It's just the green part that would be expansions. Now there's over 100 acres under surface mining overlay there now. Everything would be downhill, downstream, go directly to the East Fork of the Lewis River, and that was sort of the critical consideration there. Plus, you have 40% slopes there. Mm-hmm. Almost the entire thing is extremely steep. Livingston Mountain is a little bit different. So you have the existing two mines at 14 here, and the access is off of 282nd Avenue. That one, I don't think the Planning Commission made very strong findings on. They're hoping that the road system geometry is inadequate to handle trucks, but it's handling trucks all the time right now. I think they were somewhat caving to the pressure of having 300 people in the room that wanted mm-hmm. to make a certain decision, and not really having a whole lot of countervailing information. The other areas of 13, all of the access to 13 is off of Livingston Road itself. And we sent our own traffic engineers up there, and they said, this is not suitable for truck traffic. You've got blind curves. You've got pavement that's 18 to 20 feet wide. There's no way you couldn't cross the center line coming around those curves with a truck and trailer. And it's pretty steep there, too. So that would apply also to 12. I suspect that 14 will be revisited by the board. If they get a little more compelling argument from the industry, and some expansion probably will be possible there, because I don't know that we have the findings to deny. But it's going to be a battle.
So before we pull that down, clarify something for me. I see the yellow is removal of surface mining overlay, and then we have the hatched areas, existing surface mining overlay.
Right.
Are those areas of existing surface mining overlays being removed from the surface mining overlay then?
Only the ones that are yellow.
Oh, so you are removing existing surface mining overlay?
Yes.
Okay.
Lots of it. Like Camp Bowderville.
At the behest. Oh, so
you can't mine there.
Oh, gosh, you got all the explosives
on
the ground already.
There's no indication of any resources here or there. So, yeah, the areas that are yellow cross-hashed didn't correspond with any mapped resource, so we're not sure why they put on the map in the first place. But and nobody's made any arguments in favor of keeping them, so off they go.
So we'll then, at the end of the day, based on the testimony we heard last month, this isn't going to be satisfactory to those in the industry because those areas with the best resources are being removed or not considered?
Yeah, they're not too happy with it. I think the largest area of contention will be 14 because it's DNR land. Mm-hmm. It's clearly got established, well-known amounts of rock.
Which one's 14?
Right
down there.
So that's down there, sure.
Of the existing mine.
Yeah.
I mean, you could mine out there for another, you know, 40 to 80 acres, and it wouldn't have any greater effect than it does today.
Right.
But there are people who want to go in and kind of close down that existing mine. I mean, they've got lawyers working on it as we speak, so.
And then will, with the removal of those other overlays, will we still meet the intent of that portion or that section of GMA with regards to?
There isn't a fixed quantity determination in GMA. There's kind of vague references to.
At least in our own comprehensive plan.
Yeah, well, that will be changing. The reality is that almost all of our sand and gravel is coming up the river from on barges. We don't get it. We've buried it all under housing tracts in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Section 30 is done. Section 31 is done. So the only real active areas along the East Fork of the Lewis River, and they've got 25 years worth of resource there easily. It's not going to be enough to satisfy the whole market, but you don't have to because it's coming in by barge. So the hard rock, the crushed rock market is probably a million metric tons a year, just based on our population. If you look at the usage statewide, I did a little per capita thing, and we have several sources, and there's the two mines on Livingston Mountain. There's Yakult Mountain. Those are the two big commercial sources. Chelashi Prairie has a couple of areas that are kind of selling to the rural area. They're not real big producers. And there's some, probably going to be some more activity south of Woodland in the future. So.
Okay.
Mike, just a question long term. This is kind of the opposite question, but somebody's kind of done with their operation. There were some existing provisions, and I think are getting removed, saying that you could not change the surface mining designation on your property, or it would be very difficult to do so. And thinking long term, if somebody wants to exhaust their operation, convert it to residential, or
no, I think our intention was to make it easier to do so.
Perfect.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to work because we tried to make this a type 3 process that was just, you know, is the resource there? Is it or is it not there? It's just been played out fine. It's just an overlay. It doesn't give you a green light to go and start mining, but the rest of the world didn't see it that way. So, and the GMA has a little bit of language that says it needs to be done through legislative action, which, okay, if that's what we got to do, then we're back to type 4.
Just like Fisher's Point, I think you're going to see other places that want to redevelop.
Sure.
In the next 20 years as well, like go exhaust the, whatever that resource is, just as long as that's allowed to be, that overlay is allowed to be fairly easily.
Yeah, well, fairly easily. It'll be a type 4 process. You'll have to go to the Planning Commission and the board, but there will be fairly clear-cut criteria. We're trying to get it away from reference to the matrix and this pretty useful but fairly complicated chart in the comp plan and just have, do you meet A, B, or C?
Mike, was that the removal or the?
Both.
Oh.
Both. And I think you can see that language, at least as proposed, on page 4 and 5, under S. So this would restore it back to a type 4, but and it would list specific criteria for removal and addition of surface mining overlay, which we don't have right now. Right now, it's kind of get bounced around.
Well, Mike, I had a question on page 6 on the applicability. I know that Don and I have commented on this before. And I'm just looking at number two. We actually have two twos there.
But there are two suggestions for changes. They're both pretty similar.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really disagree with them. But, yeah, what's your comment?
The comment would be, I don't know as if it's crystal clear that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if somebody wants to expand their operation, that only the expansion or the altered part of their operation would need to conform to the new requirements, that they wouldn't need to bring the entire operation up to existing.
Right? I'm not sure that it's going to be realistic to have dual sets of conditions of approval on an operation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to let the Planning Commission weigh in on this.
Do you know what I mean?
Either you want to include expansions or you don't.
Right.
I'm actually a lot less concerned about that word than alteration, which the first one is kind of ambiguous.
Yeah, I agree.
Are you adding another piece of equipment? Is that an alteration?
I agree. I wouldn't find that an acceptable change. And
that's not part of the new, of your proposed language?
No.
Okay. Okay.
I'm on page 7 under setbacks, so it's number D2 and then number B. It's regulating setbacks on adjacent properties, not even inside the mining overlay. Is that new language? So at the bottom of page 7, the last. So adjacent properties to maintain 100-foot setback?
Yes, this is all new language. We don't have a setback on adjacent properties right now. But the sense was that, and the GMA is pretty strong on protecting the mining interest from the adjacent properties, and
right.
So we were trying to get a balance that required both parties to do some setback rather than putting it all on one.
Mm-hmm.
And that one may need some changes elsewhere in the code to cross-reference and make sure you're aware of that you're doing this.
It seems like something that could easily get missed, and I don't know if this is the right spot for it, but just, you know,
yeah.
My initial thought, I really haven't looked into it in much form of opinion, but it's looking like we're regulating adjacent uses now based on
mm-hmm.
mining.
And I think it will be problematic without some kind of a note in Rural 5 zone, but until we agree on the principle, there didn't seem to be any reason to screw around.
And there's already a 200-foot setback inside that use from A, correct? So you have a 200-foot setback for residential uses.
Right. For.
And then.
Yes.
An additional. So it's 300 total for new.
So what is a setback if it's not adjacent to residential? What if it's adjacent to a forest reserve or something like that? Is there no setback?
There's none listed, no.
But now there would, however, be a 100-foot setback on the adjacent property from the mining use. Correct? From the new V? So let's just situate, and I'm trying to think, because you're probably not going to have commercial land right next to it, but you might.
But
you never know.
Of course, there's nothing to set back.
Well, you can still have one house on it.
You can build a house on it, but you don't want to build it up against the property line, so the setback regulation would still apply.
I'm just thinking of a situation where most of it's critical areas, and you have one minimal, small area to put it. And it's not an established mine.
And you said that it can be reduced.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you've got site constraints that make it impossible, then you're going to put your house wherever you need to put it.
But that's for all zones and all uses adjacent to mineral resource zones.
So far. Okay. Yeah, I appreciate your point that maybe.
I'm just seeing a restriction on people who might not have
a whole lot else you're going to have out there in the rural areas next to these mines. But.
Yeah. It's one of those that if you had a designation of the mining overlay, you might be represented at the hearings that put this comment in. But if you're adjacent, now all of a sudden you lost 100 foot of your surrounding property and you weren't concerned about it before. I said that.
Believe so me, if you're within 100 foot.
You were there?
You were there. And you were noticed. And
everybody
that you know is noticed. So,
A lot of feedback on that one? No? Huh.
Where did you get the most feedback from, Mike? Be it negative or positive?
Livingston now.
And what part? Didn't want it at all?
People as far as 2 miles away. They don't like the existing operation. They feel that, that they're negatively affected by blasting,
truck traffic.
Truck traffic.
Mm-hmm.
They're worried about their wells, and they certainly don't want to see any expansions.
So when you see the proposed alternative language in here, call as citizens' lands for Livingston Mountain.
Right.
Man is an attorney.
Attorney for Friends of Livingston Mountain.
Okay.
So you've got two Livingston Mountain groups.
And those two joined forces as of today, put out a press release, and they're...
What are they called?
They're working with Friends of East Fork. Or East Fork.
Call Man.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't know what they're called, but they're...
Economic Man.
Oh, yeah, the Clark County Alliance or something like that. It was a very broad term now. I'll send it to you.
And then John Dentler is an attorney who represents Stordahl.
Right, and then Bob Foster also represents Stordahl. So those were the people, the parties that weighed in most.
If you're going to make a best guess at when the mining overlay hearing is going to be over tonight, what would it be? Because I think the biannual is after that.
Well, they closed.
Yeah. Well, you got a hearing anyway.
Yeah, sorry about that, Jim. Yeah. Not happy either. They closed testimony, so it's a matter of how quickly they
can deliberate
and come up with an agreement and take the vote necessary to do it. They've had another 2 weeks to think about it.
So probably 3-4 hours.
Yeah, it could be 3 hours. I wouldn't surprise me. But I mean, they have choices.
I'm waiting anxiously.
A, B, and C.
Yeah, he's got stairs to the whole thing.
What's that?
I'm waiting anxiously for what the Planning Commission's
going to say on this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'll have to live with whatever regulations they are recommending, and eventually this will get to the board.
Yeah.
I have some ideas that I won't share at the moment. But, you know, I see a light in a tunnel, and I'm not sure if it's a train or...
Yeah.
So I have some thoughts on what do we do prior to getting to the board. Yeah. So when we see parties kind of really jockeying on positions, it makes it far more difficult proposition.
Well, this is a rare occasion where you have people with resources on the other side. I mean, you got people with $1 million and $3 million houses up there, and they're going to hire the attorneys, and they're going to hire the planners, and they're going to keep throwing money and energy at it until at least they know they've been heard. So the industry is not used to that. They're kind of freaking out. But, you know.
Can Planning Commission recommendations to the board, those aren't appealable, are they?
No.
No, I mean...
There's no decision.
There are recommendations. They're an advisory board to the planning, that's to the Board of County Commissioners. So what the board decides eventually is appealable.
Yes, it will. It will be.
On either side. There's a no way
here. I'm trying to be optimistic there. But we'll see what the Planning Commission does. And I'm waiting to see what it looks like.
Okay.
So it's kind of the general sense here is you have very detailed development standards, which would probably end up avoiding an environmental impact statement for these individual mines. Is that kind of what I'm seeing a little bit here? And that seems to be the direction. I mean, just kind of reading this, it seems like you have clear and objective standards to the extent you can versus kind of an environmental impact. I mean, there's a threshold determination if you necessarily.
Well, yeah, these don't force any. These are not fixed in stone standards. We actually were working on these with the eye to having them apply to all uses and making them all permitted uses. That was the Mineral Lands Task Force first recommendation. So you wouldn't necessarily have a hearings examiner hearing. You would have it could go that way or it could not, but you would have fairly set standards, and if you met them,
it'd be an administrative.
You were good
decision.
To go. Yeah, it was an administrative decision. But that has kind of fallen by the wayside in terms of Yeah, the industry would still love to see that happen, but and maybe they'll get their way. But in the absence of anything else, these will be some. These will be standards that are starting point guidelines for the hearing examiner to use in crafting the conditions of approval that end up being applied.
Gotcha.
So all the SEPA information can take it well beyond based on site-specific characteristics. You know, at a certain point, we thought about just throwing them all away and saying, well, let the hearing examiner figure it out on a case-by-case. That doesn't seem fair to them, and it doesn't give any predictability or voice to the public. So this at least says this is what people can expect, and maybe it'll go a step further one way or the other.
I think it starts to define what those are. I mean, your challenge is really what property should be designated, because that starts the whole conversation.
Were there any members of the opposition, for lack of any other term, but these coalition groups on the Mineral Lands Task Force? Out of curiosity.
Yes, there were at least three of them.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. So it was well balanced, fairly balanced.
Yeah. Well, there was more industry folks because everybody wanted to be represented, but we did everything by consensus. So. Okay. I guess my feeling is they just didn't speak their minds very thoroughly then. They were sort of going along and getting along, and then we get to the end and it's, oh, big uproar, you know.
Right.
And I think they were perhaps a little bit less, they're less vocal than their neighbors, apparently. Once the whole gang gets together, mm-hmm. the positions start moving a little bit stronger in one direction. It's easier. It's hard to really represent your position in a group that's got a lot of industry guys. I thought we were there, but we were nowhere close to being there. So, no.
So our role on this, do we feel compelled to provide any position?
That's up to you guys.
In the next 3 hours?
I think we've already had our feedback, and I don't think so, but just to move this along, so we're discussing it, do we need to take a position, or just it's informative and we'll see where it goes?
We've had a position on this at least once, if not twice, and besides that, PC's not going to get our recommendation until the night of, and they've made it very clear that they want it at least to know.
I think we already provided some.
I think so, too.
First time.
And not knowing exactly where they're going to land and looking at all of the... in my opinion, this is too much to, even if we were going to digest in just our meeting time here today.
Besides, they closed testimony, so we opened up for you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
Well, thank you.
Sure.
I appreciate it. Only other thing that I saw here was that in our packet we have the same fee waiver information, I think, that we had last week from you, Marty. Is this in here for a reason? Did you have another update on it, or? Is it just part of the minutes from last week then?
And I sent a corrected copy because I had some hard copy. Last meeting, but it was actually there was some errors in the minutes. I sent a corrected copy to I think Greg or Rosie. We're going to have something probably next week for what we saw in the month of November. We saw a lot of projects.
Okay.
So stay tuned.
Yeah, maybe come back to us in January with an updated, so that we can see. What transpired over 2013?
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Will you be here for that, Marty? January 2nd is our next meeting.
I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure if I'll be here or not. I'm either going to be off the 2 days after Christmas or the 2 days after New Year's. I'm not sure.
Would somebody come in your place, do you think, or what would you want to do with that on the updated fee report then?
You know what?
Bump it to February?
We could. We've got that. We've got an update on the final site plan from staff in February. And I don't know what else is on our...
Let me suggest that February I could give you a closeout for the year. And by that time, I believe I'll have a quarterly report on what we see as the benefit side. What do we either see actuals or what do we see in estimates for sales tax generation and property tax? And I'm going to be reporting to the board when the auditor's office does a quarterly report. I'm going to roll third and fourth quarter in. They basically be picking up from the current resolution date of June of this year. So I'll do third, fourth quarter on what are we seeing on the benefit side, not just the expense side. So I can, in February, give you a report on both fees waived and then what do we see as the benefits.
Okay.
Perfect.
Sounds good. That makes sense.
Yep. Absolutely. We'll get that on the agenda. Thank you.
And before we go to public comment, what do we have lined up for January? Because I know that we're going to have to meet again early next year to establish our work plan for the following year, the following 18 months or 2 years or whatever it ends up actually being. Do we have...
So right now in January, we do need to elect our vice chair. That'll be on the agenda. Just heard from Chuck here. Of course, we'll have our updates on the final plat, final plat updates. The already pre-scheduled also, we have Ron Waringa from Clean Water. He's going to provide us a LID report.
Oh, okay.
That's about 45 minutes on that one.
And that's based on the current, the proposed changes to
yes.
The... Okay.
Yep.
And was Steve Schulte going to circle back with us on concurrency at some point in time? I can't remember where we left off with that after he gave us that presentation back, I think it was in the summer. Thanks.
Bye.
You too. Thank you.
We could sure invite him.
If you could just follow up with him on that, see
okay.
if he's got anything new to report, because the changes that he was proposing were pretty... for lack of a better term, radical. I mean, to elimination of the level of service and everything else, or establishing only two levels of service, good and bad, and see where we are with that. And yeah, if you could come in and give us an update, that'd be great too. I don't know if he's working with any shareholders with that, or if that's all internal.
Okay. So this would be concurrency updates, right?
Concurrency update, right?
Yeah. Okay.
It'd be nice to know how that leads into the comp plan as well. Those roles kind of dovetail. I know he's kind of doing that independently, but just kind of.
Okay.
Once the board kind of figures out the population issue, and then the next thing will be will the urban growth map be expanded or not, and under what circumstance? And that may be residential or industrial driven.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that part of that equation. And then the concurrency piece fits into that nicely, just to try to understand that better.
Okay.
And then if things do end up in a failure, what kind of happens? I think that's what people are kind of interested in.
Well, yeah. Worst case scenario. Yeah, that'd be good. The only other thing I was thinking of while we're discussing this next year is, this is probably for you, Steve, is where you guys are with capital facilities and updates there, what your outlook is and how you're going to be tying in with everything else. I know you guys probably keep a better finger on the pulse of what's going on with regards to your guys' expansion. I don't know if you have any desire to or have the ability to or have anything to report later on, maybe early next year, on what the sewer district is doing as far as expansion, upgrades, new lines, opening up new areas for development or at least facilitating that.
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly bring in like our capital program, 6-year program, kind of a, as a discussion starter once, and actually, I mean, after the first of the year, we will officially take on Richfield. Those, all the projects associated with that will become our projects.
Right.
I mean, at this point, it's still technically two separate
right.
agencies.
And we can probably push that off until, you know, even early spring. I just don't want to, and it's going to be more informational for us than anything. It's not going to be anything we can certainly vote on. But
we're all sitting on my desk, so.
Maybe March? Would you want to go with March on that? Or
doesn't matter to me. I can do it anytime.
Yeah, I think that, okay. That'd be good to at least know, because I know that there's, you know, I know that that's something Helen's certainly going to be interested in hearing about, too, because that correlates directly into the lands for jobs
lands
and the
jobs.
Discovery corridor
yep.
and everything else. And so if we can get an update on that, that'd be great.
So, Mike, you mentioned, too, about having at least some time to talk about maybe a little bit more, you know, what we want to kind of our agenda items for the year 2014. Do we want to put that on January's agenda or maybe February?
When have we typically discussed those? It's been more like in April, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, March or April.
It turns out to be.
Yeah. It's because it gets pushed out.
Yeah. I think we started around February and we end in April.
Right, yeah.
And then we don't follow it anyway. So.
Right. Well, I think this year we did pretty closely
yeah.
follow everything that we had at least put on our at least at the top of the our list.
Yeah.
Maybe at least start talking
yeah,
about it.
Let's look back and see where we've just started that discussion, because we're going to need to, you know, report back to the commissioners, and I think that's sometime in May-ish also.
And we normally
yeah.
done that outside of the monthly meetings.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, retreat.
It is, but I think that
okay.
it'd be good for us to not only report about what we've done, but about what we're going to be taking a look at, and in addition to finding out what they want us to take a look at, too. You know, not only being reactive, but proactive as
right.
far as the board's concerned. So,
okay.
I think some of that may play well. What you're just saying is perhaps even having Oliver come and give an update on the comp plan stuff, because it kind of feeds into what we do here. There'll be a lot of macro stuff starting in 2014. The whole comp plan will be starting that update process. And regulations kind of usually come out of that process.
Right.
And I know transportation is kind of running its own course,
mm-hmm.
but it'd be nice to know how all the pieces fit together, and if our group wants to make some recommendations on things like, you know, urban boundary expansion, those kinds of things. I'm not sure how far we want to get into that, but
right. Yeah, and I don't know if it's our purview necessarily to make recommendations as far as boundary expansion, but at least know what the elements are associated with that going forward and what the potential changes, proposed changes might be that would affect that.
I could definitely get with Oliver. Which meeting do you think we'd want to target?
It sounds like we're filling up in January. And so maybe February would be a good time to start that discussion, and then
okay.
you could give us an update in February, and then we can have that discussion. And then that'll give us a good start for the rest of the year, and then he can periodically update us.
Okay.
And that will give him enough time. I'm believing the board by the end of the year or the beginning of next year will have made the determination on population, which will determine in a large part kind of at least that dynamic on the residential
mm-hmm.
piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the employment piece still needs to kind of be played out, and that fits back into the sewer stuff as well.
Okay.
And if we can get that update in February, did we?
Yes.
Sewer update
yep.
in February.
February.
And that should get us pretty close in February to having a full agenda also.
Yep.
And then we
I think we're in good shape there, yeah.
A little bit, so. Okay. Anything else from anybody else? Any public comment, Brent? seeing none, we're adjourned.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. That
was well, not bad. Hour?
Yeah.
For a while.
Definitely.
So my intent is to testify at opening support tonight, but if it goes too late, you know, I apologize in advance if I have to head out early.
You know,
I don't think I'm
going
to stick around till midnight to say that we agree with the findings.
And they have our recommendation anyway.
Yeah.
And they have our past testimony, and so.
Right.
And what if not?